Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever.
Good evening and welcome to Lenny Gottfried Straight No Chaser. Happy New Year. This is my first episode back in 2024, and it has been an eventful holiday break that we've had. We've had holiday celebrations, and we've had many things happening, and now I'm so glad to be back on the air with you. Tonight, we have a special tribute that we are going to experience together. But before I get to that, you know what I normally do, and I will traditionally do that, is do the cleanup so that there are people who are listening now who haven't listened before. So let me tell you where you are. You are on blogtalkradio.com/ S as in Sam, F as in Fred, T as in Tom, 2 and the number 2, because I say that because when you put those last four letters and digit on it, FTH2, what you get is specifically right to Lenny Gottfried Straight No Chaser. When you come to Blog Talk Radio, there are many radio programs that are there. So you need those four digits in order to be able to get straight to me. And then you see a listing of over 100 episodes that we've done over the last couple of years. So this is starting our third year on the air. When you want to call in, and there are those of you who are listening on different devices tonight, but if you want to call in to say a comment, ask a question about what we're about to be listening to together, then you would dial 516-453-6063. Now, with all of that being said, and with us being back now on our routine, I should say normally we have a webinar at the end of this with the guest, but this particular episode is a tribute to someone who is no longer here. So we won't do the webinar tonight, but we will have the board open, and if you call in and you press the number 1, I will be able to put you on the air like we do on the webinar, and you can say your comment, you can ask a question, you could do anything you'd like this evening. Now, very special guest who I am making a tribute to. For those who don't know her, the incredible and I think unthinkable, Sandra Reeves Phillips was a grand dame of the theater. We lost, She left us in physical form December 29th, 2023, same day as our beloved Maurice Hines left us. Sandra, I had known since I was a graduate from college, and it was my third audition. And she was magnificent in a show that we both got cast called Ragtime Blues, which was the story of the life of Scott Joplin. Story short, let me just say before we listen to this, a little bit of how I first met Sandra. It's the audition room. And traditionally, everyone is sitting around in the room, and I'm new, but I have all my music there, and I'm waiting to do my music. And someone, and I still don't know, I don't remember to this day, saw me looking at music. I had made my decision, but I was just looking around, trying to really just get into my own zone. I came over to me and they said, "Hi, how are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm fine, how are you?" She said, "Now listen, you're looking at a lot of music. What are you going to sing?" Out of the voice, somewhere in this room, I heard this woman go, "Oh, darling," talking to the woman who had asked me the question. Darling, come here for a minute. I got a question for you." Very deep voice, as she always had. And I looked at her, and I didn't say anything, but by the time she got to Sandra, who I would later know her as Sandra Reedfield, they called this woman into the room to sing. So at that point, Sandra waved over to me like to say, "Come here, little girl." And I came over, and I said, "Yes, yes, ma'am, yes." She said, "Let me just tell you something." Now, this is a woman who did not know me from Adam, will tell you the fiber of this woman, the principle of her, the graciousness of her. She said, "I'm going to tell you this. When you're in an audition and someone asks you what you're going to sing, you tell them, 'I haven't made up my mind yet.'" She said, "Because some people will have that song in their roster and go in the room and sing it before you can get to it. So you must learn you're in a business now and protect yourself." Lesson number one. That was my first lesson given to me by a grand dame, and I will never, ever forget it. I always remembered it, and I always remembered the lessons that did follow it. So now you and I are going to listen to this episode that I did with Sandra November the 10th, 2021. I hadn't seen her for a while, and she was not feeling so great. We had talked that week on and off, and she said, "Lenny, I'm going to try to do this, but I'm not feeling so great." And I said, "Well, Sandra, I'm not going to push you. You know, I'll postpone the episode." But being the trooper that she was, and you'll hear it, boy, did she come on with a bang. So all that being said, let us now listen to that episode of Miss Sandra Reese Phillips on Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser.
Long Hope Radio. London, Those of you who are all over the world, thank you very, very much. You all have given me feedback and let me know that you're there. We have a show for you tonight. Now, let me tell you that if you want to call in and say hello, it is 1-516-453-6063. And you press the number 1. You press the number 1, then I'll know that you have a question and, or you want to come in and you want to say something to our wonderful guest tonight. And that would be my privilege to hook you up with her. I can tell you right now that this has been a person that in my life, I have followed her career. I was blessed to know her right out of college. I graduated in May, and there I sat in a room across from this magnificent woman who gave me the advice of a lifetime. We shared that a few minutes ago. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more. And really has been an example for me to follow. She is magnificent, big voice, deep voice. And you know I have a prejudice for deep voices, if you understand. And then there's a growl, and I have a prejudice for the growl, you understand. So I am so very, very honored that this woman who has been given a drama desk for rolling on the TOBA, she's been in Raisin. She's been in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Black and Blue, Blues in the Night. These are all in New York. She's been nominated twice for a Helen Hayes Award. She's been in movies, Lean on Me, Happy Hooker, Round Midnight. She knows the tap dancers that I know. She's worked with Jimmy Flyd. I worked with Jimmy Flyd on 1,000 Years of Death. There's so many things that I want to talk to her about, and I'm so excited. I don't want to push it too much. She's got a lot on her plate this evening. She's got a lot of things that she has to do, and she's just given me a little bit of her time. But I want to introduce you to the magnificent Sandra Reeves Phillips. Hello, my darling. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Lenny Godfrey. How are you, darling?
Hi, sweetheart. Hey, my darling.
Hi, baby. It's so good. First of all, I want to congratulate you on spreading your wings and going deeper in the business and inviting us into your living room there. And I really am honored to be a part of the Godfrey situation here.
Oh, thank you. I'm so honored that you would take the time to say that. Thank you so very, very much. You are the grand dame, I call you a theater. It's royalty. The Phillips family is filled with talent. As I met that offspring that you have when they were, I think, 7 and 8, tapping over the Amat Theater, all over there. They tap better than anybody else in the show, please. And I've watched them grow and mature and be wonderful in all these different areas of the theater. And we'll talk a little bit about them in a little while. But I want to concentrate on you now. I want to start way back from before New York, when you were in South Carolina. Tell me about it.
Well, I call it now. It's so far way back now. I call it South Carolina. a little geeky area of South Carolina, Mullen, South Carolina, Marion County, and I worked in the cotton fields and tobacco barns with my grandmama Matilda, who raised me. Mm-hmm. Until I got to be a teenager, and then I moved to New York. But yes. That's where it was. I'm a Geechee from South Carolina, and my mother was 14 when I was born. My mother was 14, mm-hmm. and she left me with my grandmama for many, many years.
I see. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people. Some people listening know what a Geechee is. Some people listening don't know what a Geechee is. What's your interpretation of that term?
Well, my Geechee are people who is from the low South, from the mm-hmm. South Carolina. A little mixture of Sumter, Charleston, mm-hmm. South Carolina, and they had a very strong accent. Like if mm-hmm. they were saying, "I want somebody to open the window or let it up," they would say, "Up the window." Almost like a Jamaican, almost like Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was a heavier accent and a heavier a heavier drawl in the, and we strung everything out, was all drawled out like that. And most everybody down there dipped snuff or chewed tobacco. And I was a little girl. Don't tell nobody, but I chewed tobacco right along with my grandmama. I wasn't no more than about 7, 8 years old. Every time she put a dip of snuff in her mouth, she put a little pinch into my lip. I put a little pinch of tobacco in my jaw. And every time I saw her spit, I would spit too. And sometimes the children would spit, try to spit over their head. And I tried to spit over my head a few times and duck it, and it would pop me right in my forehead.
Now,
Jesus.
Is that way all of the singing started in the church down
there? Well, it started in church. I was in the Ebenezer AMA choir with the children's choir. But in the fields now, we would sing all day long for miles and miles and miles. Somebody would start a song, and everybody would jump in and sing. So that I learned how to sing informally, and then in church, they taught us how to sing in rhyme and rhythm and choir style. And when I came to New York, I got a little heavier into singing and acting and going to talent shows. My mama would take me to a talent show every Wednesday night. And that's how I got into films and television and things like that.
Now, I want to pause for a minute because I have something that I want the audience to hear because, we've been listening to it and started smiling, you and I. But I want them to hear a little bit of what we're talking about when we say a little call and response. There's nothing like God.
Oh, heaven. Woo! When Jesus was, when Jesus was,
here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Woo!
Here we go.
Happy day.
What place in your life is music?
it's allowed me to tell stories to people, whether they could understand English or not, mm-hmm. but they could understand a feeling, a passion. And all over the world, that's been my connection with people and breaking through walls and barriers that we normally wouldn't even break through, or where it wasn't acceptable for some people to come through hollering and carrying on. People listened, and mm-hmm. they stretched out their arms with open arms. I never dreamed, Lenny, that I would go to the Vatican and sing for Pope John. I never dreamed that as a country bumpkin, as a migrant worker. We sang all day from 6 in the morning to about 6 in the evening in the field. There, one person start a song, and then another person pick it up, and by the time we finished, it was voices all across for miles and miles behind your whisk. And when I went to Italy, I said, you know what? I'm going back to Mullen, South Carolina, and I'm going to get some of people who have never left the country and not my normal background singers, and take them out of Mullen and take mm-hmm. them with me on tour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it felt so good to be able to give back. Yes,
that's the big blessing. That is,
mm-hmm.
that, is mm-hmm. that is the blessing.
And I never had a formal lesson in my life, but God gave me something that nobody can take away.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what we got to do. If he gives you a passion for something,
yeah.
whether it's writing a song or a poem or a book, follow that voice inside your head.
Exactly.
Whoever's listening out there, don't give up on your dreams and your passions.
Amen on that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, you know, it's so important for you to be clear about what is right for you. And
yes.
don't judge yourself by anybody sitting next to you, across
mm-hmm.
you, around you. What they're doing is absolutely fabulous. But God put you on this earth
yes.
to do
yes.
something very specific. And you have to remind ourselves of that every once in a while. We
mm-hmm.
get lost, you know, in all of that. We get lost in the glamour, in the fervor, and watching everybody else, what we think is their
mm-hmm.
success.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, you know, Lana, I must tell you, I've had to go through some teardrops to be in certain shows that I was in, because what would happen is if the director gave me something specific to do and I just did my job. I didn't go there to compete. I competed when I went to audition. That's
mm-hmm.
what I competed. Once mm-hmm. I got a job, it was like, what do I do to make this the best program it could be? What can I do to compliment somebody else? What can I be as a backup to somebody else to make them feel good? Those are the questions I ask myself. But some people wasn't happy with that. They
mm-hmm.
wanted me to compromise and start stabbing me in my back. So one day I had to say a couple of words that wasn't cute to some cast members.
Mm-hmm.
I had to back them up, get off of me.
Yeah.
I ain't going to tell you what I said, but I had to back some people up off of me because I didn't go there to compete. I competed when I auditioned.
Yes.
Once I got the job, I had a job to do.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and everybody should have had that kind of attitude. Do your job. Never mind. Well, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you have to go back and get another bow. It ain't my business.
I know.
You know? So I had to say some choice words to some people in some cast where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, well, I can relate to some of that. I'm not even gonna. I can relate to some of that.
But I'll tell you one thing: it was an honor and a pleasure to work with you, and to witness the depths and the dimensions of your talent.
Oh,
and you've never had anything small about you to say about anything else. There was never that no big me's and small you's. None of that. And that's what I fell in love with about Miss Lenny Godfrey.
Well, thank you. Well, the feeling is mutual. I just don't think that people understand the relationships that people have in our business. It is a business in which we risk everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we risk every single thing. We don't have a mattress, a cushion, anything like that. We rely upon certain people, sometimes it's agents, sometimes it's producers, sometimes to pass the word out about who we are. And then our friends just cushion us and welcome us into their homes, into their lives, into their hearts. And it is a family. And I felt there are certain shows where it is a family. I still talk to Ken Page, you know. Who
production
was. Yes, Helen Gelzer was in that production.
Oh,
with
my
us.
Goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful family in the beginning of my career. I was really blessed to have you all and to be protected.
Likewise,
by you all. You know, I cannot thank you even more. Don't get me to be started because I want people to know even more about you, not anything about me. I want to keep on talking about you.
Well, I want people to know some more about you that you're trying to hide behind. Because I'm telling you, girl, you was Miss Fearsome when you stepped out on that stage.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And I was in the wing just, I felt like I was birthing a baby. What?
It was a wonderful experience.
Oh,
really,
my
really
goodness.
Was.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's all I can say.
It really was. You know, now, Sandra, when you came to New York,
mm-hmm.
about what age range were you?
My mother brought me here from South Carolina from my grandmama. When I was going into, I think it was about fourth grade.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah, and I kept leave and go back. And I went to Florida for a while, back again with my grandmama. My mama made me come back. So I was back and forth and back until she said, no more. You're going to school here, and you might as well get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And settled down in Brooklyn, New York.
Fort Greene.
Mm-hmm.
Did your mother, was your mother musical at all or anything?
No. She wasn't. She was 14 years older than I was, and just as tough on me as she could be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her name was Rosalie, little dark, bow-legged woman with a gold crown and a gold tooth in her mouth. Ooh, she was tough. God rest her soul.
Oh, God.
And if she wanted something, she'd come in the middle of the night with her, wherever she was. And she said, get up and fix me this and that and the other. And it might have been 3, 4 in the morning. And I was like, I'm tired. I was like, baby, she would crack me upside my head. And I stood over her. I was bigger than she was. But I never, ever touched her back. I never pushed her back. I never cursed at her. But it was painful. Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It was demeaning, as a matter of fact. To me,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought she hated me, my gut. God rest her soul.
Gosh.
So
I'm
felt like my
mean.
Grandmother was really the mother for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you visit your grandmother much once you got up here? Did she come up here at all?
She got injured in the field and wound up. My aunt and my mother wound up moving her here to Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
to Brooklyn where we were living at the time. Now
mm-hmm.
I live in Queens near Kennedy Airport, but at that
mm-hmm.
time we lived in Fort Greene.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So your grandmother did get a chance to come up and be in the city, you know.
Yeah. So she stayed once
mm-hmm.
she got here. She stayed up here. Mhm.
I see. Well, what then started you in the business? Now I know you could sing, and in church they let you know if you can sing or not, so you know when you can sing.
Well, I always sang in the children's choir in South Carolina in Ebenezer. And then when I came up here, I started singing at Second Pilgrim Baptist Church. I'd sing a little song on Sunday or something. But I wasn't technically theater or nothing like that. But then my mother started taking me to amateur nights in different little places like the Baby Grand and Happy Landing and different little clubs around town. And some gentleman who was kind of like a scout for a club asked my mama to bring me there.
Mm-hmm.
I started
mm-hmm.
singing in different little clubs on Wednesday nights, on amateur nights and stuff like that. And eventually, somebody wanted to hire me to sing. I think I went on a program with Lou Anthony and them. We went somewhere. I believe it was Lou Anthony and them. And I went to sing wherever they were singing at.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
that's how it started.
Yeah, Anthony went to Boys High because my husband went to Boys High. A little after him, but he was a Brooklyn boy, Anthony.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he's a Brooklyn boy.
It all got started.
So what was your first, I would say, professional job?
The Baby Grand and the Happy Landing in Brooklyn.
All right.
The Baby Grand on Fulton Street near Nostrand Avenue, and then the Happy Landing was near Franklin and Fulton.
So that was all.
Those were my first little gigs. I made $15 a night or $20, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have to hire no band or nothing like that. I had rehearsed with the band and sing a couple of songs, and that was it. And my mama was happy because she was on welfare at the time, and that was some good little extra change for her.
Mm-hmm. And as you did that more and more often, people began to hear about you.
Yeah, so started inviting me to be on programs and shows and stuff like that. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What would you consider your first theatrical show?
The first theatrical show.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what was that? Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's history. Ooh,
I know. Make me think all the way back there.
Oh, baby, I can't even go that far back. I can't even remember.
Okay.
But I know I got cast, started getting cast. I went to Al Fan Theatrical Ensemble for a while.
Oh, yes.
Was it Happy Hooker? Out of Al Fan School up in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think
fans submitted me for Happy Hooker, and what else did they start submitting me for? And I started winning. I started getting upgraded. What was that? Was Martin Scorsese? What was that film with him? What was that? That he directed.
You're not talking about Taxi Driver, are you?
I did Taxi. Yep, I did that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So little by little, the world started to open up like an oyster.
Oh, I see.
And I took background. I took anything they offered me. Anything. Mm-hmm. I wasn't too proud to beg. Not at all. And it supplemented my mama's little welfare check, so she was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What musical show? What do you remember your first theatrical musical that you were in?
Oh God, I think it was something that I did for Rosetta Lynn Wan now.
Yeah, well, we did Ragtime Blues for Rosetta, but by the time we were in Ragtime Blues, you knew Rosetta already, so you had already done something. I don't know what it was.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I can't even remember, baby.
Uh-huh.
It's been so far back.
I know. I understand.
And I hadn't been to Europe yet, I don't think. No, I hadn't been to Europe yet.
No. When I met you, you had the children, and the influence of being around professionals, I think, has made them what they are today. I mean, Mariska is a wonderful director and coach. Lacey is a creative director.
He's an unsophisticated lady and all the shows traveling on his. Oh, my goodness. Choreographing.
Yeah, he's been known as
writing
dancing,
songs, and others winning awards and things like that.
Those children
helped me keep my sanity. If I don't think I had those two children, you wouldn't be talking to me right now because I probably would have lost it by now.
I hear you.
Thank God. Sometimes you need some
stability. Do you think, I was hoping that I know how busy they are, that the influence that you've had on them, their seeing you, the discipline that you, because you are what they call, not only the grind down, but you are what they call the trooper. You're a trooper.
I'll take that. I love that.
When people say that to me, I take it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really does mean that, you know, you take whatever they throw at you and you throw it back at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, one of the first shows that I was, professional musicals that I was cast in, I don't know if we were in this together, with Betty Davis, Miss Moffat.
Well, Miss Moffat, that's what
were you in that one?
No, Marion.
Okay, that's how I got my children in that show.
Yes, because Lacey was in that. That was Marion Ramsey was in that.
And I think Dorian Harewood was in that.
Yes, Dorian Harewood. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's
right.
My first big professional show that I was in.
I said,
I got to take my children with me. I said, do you have anything in the show for children? And they wound up putting my children in that show. And didn't they get in the union just like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you the truth. Jesus, look, life doesn't owe me anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been overly blessed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then to meet Miss Lenny Godfrey up there singing all them high notes and low notes and everything all over the place.
No, don't start with me.
You can go all the way up there, and you can come on down. I said, look at this baby.
Well, that's
look at her. Yeah.
Well, it's God's blessing. It's God's blessing.
Yes, Lord.
It's God's blessing.
What an honor and a blessing it was to meet you. I've never seen anything, any picky stuff about you. You were always centered and focused and respectful.
Thank you. My mother would love to know that and hear that. You know, Mommy's gone, Daddy's gone, but they love you.
Bless.
And would love that what they taught me to be, the person that they really strive for me to be, I am hopefully still becoming and will sustain for the rest of my life. And it is an important thing that you realize that. But you get that from the people who mold you, the people who really...
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of knowledge from. I was talking to a good friend yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And see, let me tell you something, how fast it's going. We are past the half hour already, so we don't have that much time left.
I just went too fast. I know, I told you.
Now, listen, this is what was given to me, and I want to read this because I think people need to really think about this. This was, and I'll tell you who wrote it in a second, but it says, how far you go in life depends upon your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong, because someday in your life you will have been all of these.
Ooh. Who gave you that? Where did you get that from?
I got this from a friend yesterday on Zoom, and it was written by George Washington Carver.
My goodness.
My friend David Willard.
How wonderful that is. That's a mouthful and a heartful.
Is it? It really is. And I think that's what I think my parents would like me to follow. Each group, you show some compassion with everybody in the situations that they're in, because everything is different and everyone is different.
And
I've learned that. Now, talking about that, we talked about the challenges that we can have in production sometimes when people are a little uneven with their objectivity. What would you say is your favorite? What did you most enjoy? In your career, one of the highlights.
What did I most enjoy? Going to the Vatican and singing for Pope John.
That was
the highlight, I believe, of my spiritual career, artistic career, and then being able to reach back all the way to South Carolina and bring people with me who had never left the country. That was the highlight. And we toured some other cities, but that was the one. The first film that was really a highlight for me was Lean on Me with Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The musical was Miss Moffat with Betty Davis. You know, of course, you know about that. But Lean on Me with Morgan.
Yes. Talk a little bit about that for me. Tell the audience a little bit about Lean on Me, because you know it shows all the time and we see you on the screen all the time. So how was that for you as an actress playing? I believe weren't you the music teacher?
I was the music teacher. Mm-hmm. I just went in and auditioned. I didn't know what they were going to consider me for at all. Mm-hmm. I just went in and I sang some song. I don't even remember what it was I sang for them for the audition. But when I got offered the role, I almost passed out. But, I mean, it just, I just never went into anything hoity-toity, like, oh, I'm going to get this, and I'm going, oh, I know I can do. I never went into a situation knowing it all already. Mm-hmm. I went in there as green as grass, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do my best. I was nervous as heck every time I did something. And sometimes right these days here, if I had to go audition for something, I'd be just as nervous as I could be.
Yeah.
Until I get a few notes, get down the way about a few notes down, and then start opening up and hollering and carrying on. Because I've never been... People say, well, what kind of singer are you? I said, baby, I'll tell you what kind of... Well, I'm not really a singer. I'm a hollerer. Because that's how I learned how to sing. Holler! In them fields all day, that's all we did all day long. Picking cotton, and cropping tobacco, stringing tobacco, singing, and hollering.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know nothing about no singing. I was in children's choir. But they didn't let me do no lead. They didn't let me do none of that. But that it wasn't until I moved to Florida with my grandmother that I really sang more and more, and they started putting me in plays, more plays and stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I was a background singer. I was in the background all the time. And
well,
all right,
yeah,
with that.
You weren't going to stay there. I mean, there's no way in the world that that personality and that presence. You, I think people don't realize that you have portrayed some of the most wonderful characters in our history. You know, you have done ladies of, you know, really the ladies of song that really have been iconic in our history.
Great ladies of blues and jazz.
Yes.
I started that about maybe 15 years ago. So Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith, Ethel Waters, Diana Washington, Billie Holiday, and who was that last person? Did I give you six or seven?
I don't know. I wasn't counting.
Ma, Bessie, Ethel, Billie, Dinah, and Mahalia Jackson.
Okay,
that was it.
And that's an incredible range, because you have Mahalia, who is really the gospel queen.
Oh,
then,
my goodness. I grew up on Mahalia.
Yes, but you know, and then you have Ethel, who I'm familiar with myself, who she has a range on her own. So she went from vaudeville to Broadway, and so you have that range. You know, and you talk about Billy, and Billy was a whole
good night, but when I sang Mahalia for Pope John, do you know how that made me feel as a black country bumpkin to be there in the Vatican singing for Pope John? He didn't know me from scrap.
Well, he knew you after you sang.
But when I got up there and said, "Mission, Lord," the audience that they had invited said, "Welcome home." Lord Jesus.
Now, what do you want to do now, Sandra? I mean, you've done so much.
I would love to do my story, get somebody to write my story from being a child, a product of rape, from a 14-year-old mama. A dad that I never saw. He was supposed to be a preacher, but I never knew him. He said his name was Reverend Tillman, but that's hearsay, so, because I don't know. My mama wouldn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for somebody to develop my story.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be told, whether I'm in it or not, or somebody else do it. But I would really like, so that some child coming along behind me would say, there's hope for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Oh, that's wonderful. I hope someone is out there listening. Hello.
Well, I know Lanny can do it.
You don't got some big news to throw. Wait a minute now.
I'm sure you can do it if you put your heart to it. I'm sure you could.
Well, the
but I'm very grateful. I said to me, life don't owe me a thing at this point. Everything after this is just icing on the cake. Life doesn't owe me anything. I just want to be around to see my children fulfill
mm-hmm.
their dreams. And I hope mm-hmm. there's something that I'm here to help them do, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. I hope that I can help them do the things that they are prayerfully asking God to bless them with.
Well, you know, you have such a wonderful reputation in the business. You know, when I was telling people that we were going to have this conversation, they went, oh, my goodness, yes, you're going to be awesome. Oh, my gosh. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm going to be there too, you know.
and it's been a long time since we connected, isn't it? How many years would you say?
Well, you know, I think the last time we saw each other was at Danny Holgate's memorial service.
Okay. I think it was last week. Yeah.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
I talked to her about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
ago. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think that's the last time we saw each other in person. I, of course, follow you when you do your programs and everything. I see you on Facebook. And, you know, I wonder, it's so funny. You did that one show, and it shows you how show business is.
Mm-hmm.
We have never run into each other to do anything again.
I know.
You know.
We're overdue.
Yes, we are. Yes,
we're overdue.
Yes, we are.
And now that we're at this, in the road, this fork in the road,
mm-hmm.
we will
mm-hmm.
do something about it because we're talking about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're being led.
Yes, yes. I agree. It's just so wonderful to
mm-hmm.
pick this up. Pick this up.
Yes.
Because I think people don't know when you're young in the business and Sandra, being a young woman, did not have to intervene at all in this one episode when I first met her in this audition process. And I
mm-hmm.
had graduated college. It was only, the second or third audition I had ever done. I was in a play, and I was doing the play. I was asked to come and audition for this musical.
Mm-hmm.
And there I sat in the room, you know, looking at all the wonderful ladies who were all dressed up in glamour, being one of them. And someone had come over to me watching me because I had prepared music. I'd been studying with Dr. Northern
mm-hmm.
years since I was a little girl. And so I had my music, and I was ready, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
I kind of glanced at it and closed it up, and they came over and said, so now what are you singing? And you immediately said, a little girl, come over here. And I went,
oh, then your business.
I think you were watching her. It had been somebody that
yeah, I don't like people to be out of their place.
No.
And trying to intimidate somebody else or something like
yes.
that. That wasn't that person's business.
No, and I was young, and you know how people will do at auditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you said, as you did that, the person was being called into the room, and you said to me, now listen, if somebody asks you what, the next time anybody asks you what you're singing, you just tell them, song, that's what you're singing.
Oh, all in your business. I was all in your business.
But I never forgot it. It stayed with me all along. No, you know, but I must have kept the bravado that you gave me. I must have taken it in the room because they hide me. But also, I carried that with me that no one ever approached me about that anymore because I had learned something then. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Bless you, baby. I love you from the moment I connected with you. I loved and respected you from the moment I met you. And there was something very, very, very serious, very unique about you, very warm about you. And I fell in love with you the moment that we met. And
thank
we just
you.
Didn't connect right away back then and there. We kept passing in different areas. But hello, Jesus.
Yes.
Hello, Jesus. That's all I got to say.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the one thing that I really have to say that I have been blessed in this business with knowing some of the most wonderful people. And some of you have come on here, and sometimes when I re-listen to the broadcast, I have tears in my eyes because I feel so very, very blessed. If you weren't in the business, what do you think you would be doing? What do you think?
Have a restaurant. I always wanted to have my own restaurant because I used to sell dinners and meals on the camp. And when we travel up and down the road, I sold meals. And I paid for my children private school like that. But I always loved to cook because my grandmama, always, I had to have dinner on the stove every night when she came from Miss Mamie's kitchen. I had to have her something to eat on that stove. And I didn't know how. Sometimes I just made fatback and rice. And cornbread.
Ooh, ooh.
She said, "Oh my darling, this baby, this stove." She just told me how good it was, and then I wanted to keep on cooking. She might have dumped it in the garbage. I don't know, but she made so much out of that fat back and rice and cornbread. My goodness, baby, my baby, you. She couldn't even get it all out.
So encouraging. I see now I see where all of it comes from.
I wish you had met my grandma. Everybody called her Ma Tilda. Her name was Matilda. But everybody called her Ma Tilda on the camp, the migrant workers camps where we travel up and down the road on the back of trucks and buses from city to city, state to state, seasonal work. Yep. Everybody called her Ma Tilda.
Oh gosh! And was she born in Mullins or?
She was born in I think she was born in a little town called Ladder, South Carolina. I was born in Mullins. I think her family was from Ladder, somewhere else outside of, kind of outside of the borderline country and city limits.
Oh,
I'd never been there, but I think it was Ladder, L-A-D-D-E. L-A-D-D-E-R, South Carolina.
Okay.
L-A-T-T-E-R, I'm not sure.
Either Ladder or Ladder.
I'm not sure. But she was born in one of those little country geeky towns.
Let me ask you, we're heading now for the last part of the show. I mean, we've got about maybe 7 minutes left, you know. And I know that you have an engagement. We won't do the video, so I want everyone to just visualize this beautiful woman if you can. But she can't.
Oh, Lordy. Oh, my goodness.
You know, so she can't do it with me tonight, but we will do it one day.
Okay, baby.
The most important thing that I want to happen is that I want to ask you to speak about theater these days.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about theater these days?
I don't think we're taking the lead enough as actors and writers. I don't think we are spreading our wings enough and taking the lead. That's what I think. I haven't been able to do anything further because I know I had written a play with another friend of mine called Opening Night. And it went over quite well, but we had to part our ways because we were not on the same page. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing my own shows over the years, but now that I fell out of the car, got knocked out of the car.
A little over a year ago,
I got knocked out of my car. As I was getting out, a taxi hit the rear of my car and knocked me on out on the ground. So I've lost quite a few of my teeth scattered about in my mouth. So I don't even want to go out where people can see me until I can get my teeth put back in. But I haven't been singing or anything like that. But theater, we got to write some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We got to direct up out of the cobwebs and polish it off and do it so these young people coming behind us now will have more depth.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I think that it will benefit them to understand a lot of the history that they don't understand that preceded them. I think I was very, very lucky because there were still so many people who had worked in vaudeville and in early theater that submitted people of color to come in that were still working. So you would sit and listen to the stories. But my generation has a 10-week scattered and so the benefit of like your children has not been direct. They haven't had us to lead them. And I think people need to come back and try to guide them a little bit more, you know.
Well, what they say, that old saying is what goes around comes around.
Yes.
And we've just about revolved around again. It's that time for us to dust off some of these old plates, put a spin on it, write some new things. You know what I mean? It's time.
Yes, it does. Do you think that your influence, I'm touching on it a little bit earlier, and this will be the last thing, and then I'm going to let you go because I know.
Oh, I'm crying, baby, now because I didn't talk to Uncle Earl. I'm going to call him back, though, because he was going through a little health situation where he doesn't have L.A. Insurance.
Oh.
And he can't get service unless he has to pay. And that's sad. That's sad.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, well, go to the credit union, go to the union and see if they will help you. You know, he said, Ma, I don't know if they're going to help me or not. I said, well, I'll call you back later on. We'll talk about it. But he was nearly in tears when I told him to go.
I wanted to, because he said that both your children are such sweet souls, and I love to hear their voices. But we will do it again. We will do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But you had a question for me, though.
Yes. Do you think that them seeing how persistent that you are, both of your children started as performers and now have really grown to add to that list as administrators in our business. Like I said, Mariska is directing and coaching. And then there's Lacey, who's the creative director, along with dancing.
Yeah.
Yes, he's a
and doing a lot of work in Europe and Japan,
and a lot
with
of
his arena for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you think watching how you work, how you created your career, influence them to know that we should take a more part in how are listed in this business, how we are presented, the imagery, because both of them are taking more power. They're empowering themselves. You think that's how that's gone?
Yeah. Well, they see. I guess they saw Mama come from this country bumpkin, a migrant worker, to being a singer, to being an actress, raising them by myself. I think they saw that I wasn't going to give up, give out, or give in. I was determined to keep my children with me. Wherever I went, I tried to put them in my contract, to take them with me wherever I went, whenever it was possible, whether I was going to Switzerland or going to wherever I was going. I tried to make sure that my children was a big part of my life and my career.
They
saw that. They saw how much I loved them and didn't want to separate myself from them only when it was absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
So thank God I had my grandmother here for a while, And my mother took care of them for a while until she passed away. And my mother was very sickly, and she just, God rest her soul, she just wouldn't stop drinking. She just wouldn't stop. But she was the sweetest spirit. She raised me. She would buy me something with her last dollar to be on a talent show, a new outfit. Every time I went somewhere, she tried to buy me a new outfit. If I went to Goodwood's or downtown in the basement somewhere and got something for $15, she wanted me to look pretty.
Yes.
Yeah. So they see that I refuse to give up, give out, and give in. Even when I'm hurting, when I'm injured, I don't stop. You know, since Dad walked out, he's passed away now, but I was there. I didn't give up, and I never said no to him, to have him, to come get him, to be around him. I never locked him out, never did that. They've grown up to be people that I'm very proud to say, I'm very proud they're my children.
Well, I'm very proud to know you.
I'm very proud to know you back. You can't be prouder than me.
It's a mutual admiration contest here. Really, it really is. I think I just want people to know, you know, what it takes to exist in this business. So many people think that, oh, you know, they see what we do and they obviously just say, oh,
talent
that.
And tough skin.
Yes. And, you know,
and to recognize your talents and don't try to compete your talents with somebody else's talents.
Yes,
you compete for the job, but you don't say, oh, gosh, she's better than me. No. You do your best all the time, every time that they see you out there. And it registers.
Yeah, it does.
And that's when I started writing my own shows. After I got tired of going to the back of the line to audition, I started putting my own stuff together, and it took me all around the world and back again, to the Poles, to Italy, Switzerland, Germany, you name it. And then I was able to take my children with me. Then I was able to go back to my hometown in South Carolina and take some of my distant relatives to Europe to sing at the Vatican with me. So you reach out. You can't close everything up into a closed fist.
Exactly.
You got to reach out to give back.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to always remember, that my grandmother had a heart bigger than life herself, Matilda. That's the lady I learned from, not my own mama. Matilda,
you were blessed.
You would have loved her, baby. You would have loved Matilda.
I bet I would have.
And she would have loved you too. She would have just schooled you up. Yes, she would have. Thank God for my grandma, because had it not been for her, I don't think I'd be here today. I probably would have gone off and jumped off a cliff somewhere, because I didn't have nobody to support me like she did.
So, you know, I always say to people, when you have that, I had that in my family. That's a gift. And it never is replicated. When they're gone, you will never feel back again.
Right.
But the memory of it keeps you strong. The memory of it keeps you going. Because
absolutely.
That's the spirit. That's the spirit that they've given you. And I really have to say, it's just like visiting with family, this conversation, Sandra. It's just been like we haven't seen each other for a little bit, and now it's time to sit down and have a wonderful conversation.
Absolutely.
And I don't want a conversation. I want us to keep in contact. I want
you to feel
better, and you have some ideas. Let's work on something. It would be fabulous.
Okay, and if there's ever anything that you need me to sit and be a sounding board for you, I don't mind.
Thank you.
I'd be glad to be there for you.
Well, thank you. And,
everything is done by virtual and by telephone and by text. I don't text and all that. I'm still in the old school. But I certainly know how to stay on the phone. I certainly do know how to do an email or whatever, or get on there and do a fax. I could sit and listen to you and throw some things back at you in your ballpark. And that's what we got to do. Some people are afraid to share and to talk about stuff that they're going to get away from.
Exactly. When I started in the business, people used to call you up all the time and say, listen, I heard something I think that would be great for you. And
mm-hmm.
they would just tell you, and you go over there and go over there and you
mm-hmm.
go get them over there. Or they come out of something and say, listen, this wasn't for me, but it's good for you.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. Oh, no. Take your music and go right on up those stairs. Or take that monologue and go right on up there. It used to be so encouraging. It's not
mm-hmm.
so much, but we have to just bring that back, I think.
Yeah. And it's going to start with a few of us.
Yes.
Just a few of us, yes. And
yes.
and one of these days, who knows, we might be chatting. The next thing you know, you see us on stage chatting about all of this stuff, and it'll be an evening of this. An evening of conversation or whatever
yes.
it is.
Yes, yes, you know, because that's the way God planned it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple, you know.
Yes, it is, baby.
Well, I'm here for you.
I'm up usually till sun up, so you can never call me too late. You can call me too early, but you can't call me too late because I'm usually up till sun up.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I love you, baby, sister.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Okay, honey.
Thank you so much. Anytime you need us,
you need one of us, my son, my daughter, whatever, we're here for you.
Thank you.
Okay, baby.
All right. And thank you.
You wanted to say something else?
Well, I'm going to sign off to
the
audience now. We're ending at our hour, and I told you it went fast.
It went so fast.
I told you.
All right, sis. God bless you. Keep on keeping on.
We need somebody like you
in the airwaves to reach out and help somebody along the way.
Thank you.
Love to
your family, all right?
Love to you too, baby, all right?
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. And good night to everyone here. Thank you so much. That was Sandra Reed Phillips. Next week, we will have a wonderful, wonderful roundtable on drama with the wonderful actress Marie Thomas Foster, Elaine Graham, and Count Stovall. So thank you all for tuning in, for always being there for me. It's been an absolute divine evening this evening. And I'm going to sign off for Lenny Godfrey, Straight No Chaser. And so you'll listen to a little of Sandra, and then you'll listen to a little of me. There you go. And thank you again for tuning in.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that was Hour of Sandra Reeves Phillips. And I cannot tell you, as I sit here and I laughed and I cried and I listened to the lessons and the stories, and I guess I had to change that when she said, tell them you got a song. But I remember she said, tell them you haven't, you haven't thought about it yet. But I am so grateful to have had Ms. Sandra Reeves Phillips in my life. As the smiles and the tears come, I wanted you all to hear her one more time. And with that, I will say to you all, thank you so very much for continually listening in and allowing me to do this and record and have this history of these great, great icons that were in our business and that will be with us always as we replay them, as we look at their work on film and television and recording. So with that, the Lenny Godfrey here this evening. Thank you for listening. For Lenny Godfrey, Straight No Chaser. As I said, there won't be a webinar. There's no Sandra for us to ask questions anymore, but we can truly always listen to her words, and they were blessed. So thank you, and I will have it posted for the next Lenny Godfrey, Straight No Chaser. Look for it, and we'll see you on the radio. Thank you so much for listening. Lenny Godfrey, for Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night.